This is part B of Monetary Dictatorship and Prophecy. Let's come back here to Revelation 13 and verse 3. The whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now think about what's going to happen here. Not only will there be idols for the beast, you know there are going to be t-shirts, shoes, rings, bracelets, tattoos, the whole works. Because he is going to be the greatest human being that has ever been. Satan is going to bring his greatest, his best, but also the most evil and worst. Let's keep that in mind. Verse 4, and they worship the dragon. Now, how do you worship the dragon? Well, of course, you know, Walt Disney had Puff the Magic Dragon. A good dragon. Prepare all the minds of children. That's why in the new book, The Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which it is the premier book to show the difference between the way of man under Satan and the way of God under Christ. The premier book that has ever been published that puts it all together in one place. Worshipping the dragon means this. How does it start? Does it start out, Satan appears and says, I'm the dragon and I'm evil and you worship me? The average person would say, no way! He comes along and says, well, you know, God is trying to deprive you of some benefits. What did he tell Adam and Eve? Well, God's depriving you of the benefit from this tree. Another way that it is done is by people coming along and reading the scriptures or taking anything that God has said and saying, well, God didn't mean it that way. Or, like the spirit of Antichrist that is in almost universal in evangelical fundamentalism today, which is, Christ did away with the law. And once saved, always saved, and you can't lose it even if you're sinning and committing adultery or lying and cheating and stealing at the return of Jesus Christ, you will be raptured away. Protestantism today is filled with the spirit of Antichrist. And they're going more and more and more and more into the occult. So that's how they worship the dragon. Now, when everybody, except those who are true Christians, reject Christianity, reject the Bible, and the beast comes on the scene, and he is hailed as the Savior, the nuts and quacks that are called Christians are going to stand up and say, this is the Antichrist, and they're going to come after you. We'll see that in just a little bit here. So they worship the dragon. Let me just say straight out, all religious worship services in the religions of this world, and especially with idols, are worshiping Satan the devil. Now, you make your judgment as to who and where. And you can fill in the blanks yourself. If you can't, then you better get the Bible and start reading so you know what the way of God really is. Who gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? It's never been like this before. Who has power to make war against him? Now, don't you think that if any human being came on the earth and stopped every war, I mean, you just think about the wars going on right now today. Afghanistan, Iraq, Darfur, the rebellions in Africa, the rebellions wherever else they may be, and they all ceased. No war. That will fulfill the prophecy of 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, which says when they say peace and security, they will have peace and the beast will guarantee security. Today we don't have it. So that will be a short time which will come, and then it says what after that? Then sudden destruction comes upon them, because it's all going to fall apart. Let's continue on. Verse 5, and after he's resurrected supposedly from the dead, and a great and a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And we know from the prophecies in Daniel that the overall time period will be 7 years, 3.5 of the glorious reign of the new Christ in the flesh. And then 3.5 years after his deadly wound is healed, now all hell breaks out on earth. And he was given power to make war against the saints. So if there are any good time Christians out there, you better make sure your commitment is beyond just being a good time Christian. You better get some zeal and get going. And overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Never has there been, ever, a man on earth to do that. Now the Seventh-day Adventists say this is the Pope. Can't be the Pope. He does not have authority over every nation, over every tribe. And can anyone make war against the Catholic Church at any time they want to? Yeah, one nice-sized bomb over the Vatican would take care of it, right? This cannot be the Pope. This is a civil power backed up by the false prophet. Now notice, verse 8, and all. Whenever Revelation talks about all, it means all. When it talks about the whole world, it means the whole world. When it says all nations, it means all nations. These are not figures of speech. Only the symbolism of who the beast will be is symbolism. All the rest are actual facts which will take place. So in other words, you could say it this way. This is prophetic, adjectival definitions and prophecies of what really will happen. It's not symbolic language that you can say, oh, this is symbolic and we don't need to pay any attention to it. Verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if you have God's Spirit, your name is written in the book of life. When it's written in the book of life, you have an obligation to God. To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. To be totally, absolutely faithful to him and Jesus Christ under all circumstances, everywhere, at all times, even if you lose your physical life. Because if you lose your physical life, you will gain eternal life. And the only difference between losing your physical life under a guillotine and dying a natural death is that your last breath dying a natural death may come a little later than when your head is removed under a guillotine or whatever other means. Now, some people get upset. Oh, these are harsh things. They are. They are difficult. No doubt about it. But it's in the Bible. Let's go on. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Verse 10. If anyone gathers into captivity, he shall go into captivity. If anyone kills with the sword, he must be killed with the sword. Here is the endurance and the patience of the saints. They don't get involved in those things. Now, we may have to witness to them with our last breath, as Stephen did when he was being stoned. Okay? Now here's his companion, verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, looks Christian, and spoke like a dragon, Satan. A Christ-like looking satanic religion. Verse 12, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, which is what? Worldwide, yes? But this is only at the same time that this last beast is in power. Let's read it. And he causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So he says, yes, this is God in the flesh. It's all right to worship him. And he performs great wonders so that he causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. And this will not be, as some people try and say, it will not be a hologram device. It will be the real thing. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast. Well, that's convincing. Yes, he is God. Watch, I'll prove it. I'll bring fire down from heaven. Everyone will go after him, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive. And this can be of two kinds. Number one, it can be of the beast itself, but the image for the beast has always been the mother of God, saying to those who dwell on the beast that they dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast also could speak, and he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Enforced idolatry. And he causes all, now this is the beast behind the image, the small, the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. And they are perfecting this. Now, it is my thought, right hands are for all the citizens. Forehead are all the governmental officials, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark. Now, the force of or here in the Greek is more like and, rather than or being separate as in the English. And the name of the beast and the number of his name. So there's going to be the mark, and there will be two sets of numbers that will be with it. Now, that's why eventually, probably very soon, we're going to have a worldwide currency. And what this does, this sets everyone up so that they will all be able to have an account number first. Then the mark will be enforced. Now, that's the way I envision it coming. All the steps in between, we'll have to wait and see. Now today, you stop and think for just a minute. What could you do today if you can't buy or sell? Virtually nothing. Now maybe there are some who live way, way out someplace, and they have their own land in a nice little hidden peaceful valley someplace that no one knows about right now. And they have their own cattle and they have their own goats and they can make all their own stuff and they can exist out there. But how many people in the world are like that today? And I think about this very often when I walk into the supermarket. The whole world's at my fingertips right there. Anything you want, you just buy it. And what happens when you buy? Well, you buy just about what you need, right? Years ago, when it was in the pioneer days, you would take your horses or your oxen and hook it up to your wagon, and you would go into town, and you would buy probably 6 months' worth or maybe a year's worth of goods, flour, beans, coffee, and things like that. Today, you don't do it. Now, we have a house that where we have enough space where we can store some things in cans and bottles and things like that. So, if this financial crisis becomes worse, I would suggest that you have to carry you through that. We're not yet ready for the mark of the beast, but to help carry you through that for the time being, you might get some very essential things and begin loading up and having a few things on hand. Because what are you going to do if the stores close down? What are you going to do if terrorists block off the main shipping roads and nothing can be delivered? And everybody is rushing to the store to buy something. And they're going to start crashing the lines, and there are going to be fights, and there are going to be stabbings, and there are going to be killings. I mean, even in normal times, when they open the door on the morning after Thanksgiving at 5 o'clock in the morning at the shopping centers, people just rush in like herds of cattle. And it's been known that some people have been trampled to death. So what do you think it's going to be when there's no prospect of food? Now, I know that's terrible to think of, but it's very likely going to happen, I can say undoubtedly. All right? You'll have no ability to buy or sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. And someone will say, you mean you have a family and you won't just get this simple thing in your right hand so you can buy some food to feed your children? Aren't you selfish? Why don't you think about your family? Do you love your family? Would you not want them to eat? Would you not want them to have clothes? It won't hurt. Look at all the people that have it. And they will testify to you how good this is. And you can go through the line, boop, everything's all taken care of. Oh, but one thing we forgot to tell you. We'll know where you are at all times and what you're doing at all times. And we will control you. And we will put thoughts into your head and take away your own choices. That's why all those who receive the mark of the beast are going to suffer so greatly, because they've given up their God-given free will. Okay? Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let the one who has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a man's number, and the number is 666. 1-6 stands for the religious system. 1-6 stands for the governmental system. And 1-6 stands for the economic system. And the perfection of man's system under Satan the devil is culminated in the mark of the beast. Now, there'll be other identifying things that will come along. His name in Hebrew and in Greek will add up to 666. And also the religious system and there of the Roman Catholics have 666 stamped all over it. And you can go online and look it up, and it's about a 100-page download of the history of why the Roman Catholic religious system has 666. So you will probably find 666 in a religious system, 666 in the governmental system, and 666 in the business system. And that equals 18, doesn't it? Which is 3 times 6, is it not? And it starts out with what? 3 sixes. So that's just something to think on. Just something to look at. Okay? Now let's come here to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And someone is surely going to say, well, why is God a God of love? Why is he going to do all of these things, and why is he going to allow all of this to happen? And it is true. There's going to come a slaughter of human beings, young and old, rich and poor. And we'll see it's because they reject the truth of God and worship Satan the devil. Now, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And this has not yet been fulfilled. Some people come along and say, well, so-and-so fulfilled this. No, it did not. Let's read it and see. Chapter 2, verse 1, 2 Thessalonians, page 1204. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. Isn't that interesting? The coming of Jesus Christ appears, and then we have what? The resurrection, our gathering together to Him, right? Yes. This is an end-time event. That you not be quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. Now that is a very interesting phrase, because the New Age Christianity calls their Savior a Christ. And if you are in the know, spiritually in those New Age religions, you accept the presence of Christ, which is really the influence of Satan the devil. So that's a very interesting phrase there. Now, the one that we're talking about will be called, by the Bible, the Antichrist. When this one appears, he will be called the Christ. He is present. Now, how many in the past have heard of Lord Maitreya? Some of you may have. Okay. Just remember, there are lots of false Christs, lots of antichrists, but there will only be one single antichrist described here. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. And the apostasy is the rebellion against God. What is the greatest rebellion against God? We just read it, Revelation 13. And the whole world worshiped the beast and the dragon. And the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, all of those who have the Spirit of God and know the Word of God will know who that man is and what he is. The world will say, he's Christ, he's saving the world. Look at, he stopped all the wars in the whole world. Who has ever done that? Isn't that what it says there in Isaiah the second chapter, that he will cause wars to cease? That's why when we come to trumpets, the return of Christ is not coming that way. He's coming from heaven with great power. And it is going to be the most awesome event to occur in the history of the world. Now notice his fruits. Verse 4. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Revelation 13, a great mouth speaking blasphemies. There you got it, right there. Never been a man in the history of the world to do that. Now, some have tried. But when the temple of God was in Jerusalem, no man went in there just before the destruction of the temple saying, I am God. So this is why when you read Matthew 24 and Mark 13, when it says, and when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, let the one who reads understand. That was inserted by John when he canonized the New Testament, because he was telling us the event of the abomination of desolation did not happen. So this tells us, combined with Revelation 11, that there must be another temple built by the Jews. And this tells us that this man will go into that temple and say he is God. Now, verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? But now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. There's only going to be one. And he has to fulfill all the characteristics of Revelation 13 and 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now notice, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already working. The system of the mystery of lawlessness, which is Satan's way, is already working. And it was starting to infiltrate the churches. Wherever there are true Christians, Satan likes to come to try and infiltrate. And when he does, unless the people and the congregations are alert and expel those people, they will then be a source of punishment by God for them allowing it to happen. All you have to do is read Revelation 2 and 3. And all you have to do is look at the recent history of the Church of God and understand that that is true. Only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst. Isn't that interesting? Did not the beast of Revelation 13 what? Arise out of the sea? And out of the midst of that beast, is there not going to arise one who will be worshipped as God? So this last beast of Revelation 13 is indeed part of the mystery of lawlessness or iniquity. Verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed. The world will know it, the church will know it, the two witnesses will confront them face to face for 3.5 years in Jerusalem. That's going to be exciting, isn't it? You have the two witnesses clothed in sackcloth and ashes confronting the beast in all of his regalia, and whoever the religious leader is, which will probably be the Pope in all of his fancy gowns and everything like that, and they won't be able to kill them. They won't be able to do anything to them. And if they try to, the two witnesses will speak and fire will come out of their mouths and kill those who try and kill them. So this is going to be something. The false prophet's going to say, I'm going to call fire down from heaven. And the two witnesses have the power to kill anyone who dare raises a hand against them with fire coming out of their mouths. I hope Christiane Amanpour is there to give us a video report. All right, let's go on. When will he come on the scene? Next parenthetical statement. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we work backwards on understanding this. Has Christ returned? No. Has Christ destroyed anyone with the brightness of his coming? No. Therefore, the lawless one is not on the scene yet. It has not happened any time in the past. Regardless of some people who say, oh, well, all prophecy has been fulfilled. Never happened. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner workings of Satan, and Revelation 13 says what? The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. With all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, why does God allow this? Number one, he's not allowing it. He is causing it. Because people reject God. There's always a penalty for rejecting God, whatever it may be. Now, notice, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth. I'll just add a couple scriptures here. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Correct? Christ is the truth. The Word of God is the embodiment of the truth of God. Your word is the truth. All Scripture is God-breathed. Everyone who fits into the category of twisting and turning the Scriptures of God to form their own religion and organizations, not counting all of the pagan religions of this world, anyone, because they're already gone anyway, they're already serving Satan hook, line, and sinker. All right? They didn't love the truth, and they didn't accept God at all. They didn't accept God through the Old Testament. When the Israelites went out, they were supposed to go out and help bring the knowledge of God to the world. They failed. When those who were preaching the truth went out as missionaries to teach them the truth, they didn't receive the love of the truth, but the whole organization of the missionaries have been conquered by evil, and they're totally ineffective now, you see. Did not receive the love of the truth, which means you don't love God. If you say you love God and don't love the truth and don't obey the truth, you don't love God. You may mouth his name, you may say the name of Jesus, but do you obey? Do you keep the Sabbath and holy days? Do you have the Holy Spirit of God? Oh, but we're good people, and we do such good things on Christmas. You better rethink, because that is trying to add good to evil. What is the latest saying that they have now? You put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig? Okay. You put trinkets on a tree and presents from mom and dad under it, it is still an abomination from God, and you don't have the love of the truth to root it out of your house. And if someone says you ought to keep the Sabbath, oh, you don't love the truth. That's just the way it is. All right? There comes a penalty when you reject the truth. As they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. For this cause, God acts upon everyone's reaction to him, regardless of who it is in the world. If God knows when a sparrow falls, God knows when someone rejects him and rejects the truth. Correct? Yes. Whether they do it with a smile or whether they do it with maliciousness and hatred. For this cause, God shall send upon them a powerful deception. That's what's happening. You look at the way that the media is presenting the election today, and they are trying to bring upon the people a powerful deception by not telling us who this man is, what he was, what he has done, who his loyalties are to, and he is the great Messiah Savior for the United States. And one man wrote a book, The Abomination, and he put right in the preface, I use this as a play on words for the abomination. Just a small little sample for you to gauge. Now, that if that offends you, then take it up with God. Don't take it up with me. Send a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. And what is the lie? That man is God. So that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but who took pleasure in unrighteousness. But notice verse 13. Now we are duty-bound to give thanks to God always concerning you, brethren, who are beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning has called you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Quite a different thing, isn't it? So this world is heading for a lot of things that are coming, which when it comes, they don't know what's going to hit them. And I think, I'll have to say, we can be pretty well convinced we don't have to think or believe. We can be convinced that if this deal goes down in the Senate, and with all of the other Senate and Congress, and it is enacted, and combined with all the other things in the world, another great milestone toward a world dictatorship and the mark of the beast will be put in place. How long before other things develop? We don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. That's why you need to love the truth. And if you love the truth, then God will not let you be deceived. So there are the choices set before us. Isn't it interesting that this document parallels so much the attitude of dictatorship and control over the monetary well-being of hundreds of millions of people? It's just a step along the way, but this time more like a step 10,000 feet high. But stop and think how far people have gone in rejecting God and rejecting truth and get along, go along in politics and corruption and sin, that something as gargantuan as this will be passed. Well, I didn't mean to scare you to death, but he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's go to the next track.